For the reason I sing, the reason I sing, yes, my heart will sing how I love you, and forever I'll sing. Forever I'll sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And this is my favorite part. How I love you. How I love you. How I love you, oh God, my first love. Oh, my word. How I love you, Jesus. How I love you, Yahweh. How I love you, my first love. You're the reason I sing. The reason my heart will sing. How I love you. We bless God. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for the love that is in the air. We thank you, oh God, for so much peace. We thank you so much, oh Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the open heavens. We thank you for the ministry of angels that is at work right now. We thank you for the dispatch of angels even into this gathering. We thank you, oh Lord, for your word that is going to be revealed to transform hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we go any further, I want us to also say a short prayer for the people of Sudan. If you are current in news, you know there's a lot of mayhem going on in Sudan. And one story I read, an 8-year-old girl was raped so badly and they had to actually take her out of the country and all. But it's a massacre going on in Sudan. And I want to pray right now for the people of Sudan, especially for the vulnerable, the children, the women, those who can't defend themselves, the disabled. We are praying right now that, Father, let grace locate them. Father, let grace locate that country. Father, let grace locate that country. You want to pray for them in your own little way. Pray, Father, let grace locate that country. Father, let your hand of mercy rest over that country. Every plan of the enemy, we cancel it in Jesus' mighty name. Every plan of destruction, we cancel it in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray your peace over that land. We pray your peace over that land. Let every plot to cause mayhem, to cause destruction, let it be unfolded, let it be unveiled. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. And also, I want to say Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. One, you know, I have so many fathers here. I have a special father who reminds me of my tag. Anytime I come to church and I don't have a tag, he is always there to remind me of my tag. He knows himself. Arthur is behind there. He literally reminds me every time when I come. Pastor Gabe has been an amazing father. He has guided a lot of my decisions. Sometimes he speaks with so much wisdom, I'm like, man, you need to read. I thank God for people like Nelson, Isaac. I thank God for people like Daryl. I thank God for all the men in XICF who have been wonderful examples to young people like me. I thank God for humble people like Joel, my big brother Joel. He's so humble. He's very old, you know. But when he's talking to me, he's like, big brother. And I'm like, please don't do that. I'm so young. But I thank God so much for examples you have been to us. Brother Stephen, I thank God so much. Brother James, I thank God so much for your life. God bless you all. God bless you all. And I believe this, that you have set a very good example for the next generation. All the young guys, all the teens, all the adolescents, all the people in puberty who are here, we look up to you and we want to say thank you. So Happy Father's Day again. I wanted to bring toffee so that we share, but I decided to keep it at home so that I can eat it after church. So God bless you all. Today, we want to have some time to look at Psalm 131. So in the preacher's class,
in the preacher's class, what one of our students decided to make us do, because Pastor Gabe doesn't want to be referred to as our teacher, he's one of the students. So what one of our students decided to let us do was we were supposed to look through the Psalms and look for an uncommon psalm, a psalm that is not known by so many people, and then try to expound it, try to explain it in the light of Christ. Amen. So the psalm I picked was Psalm 131. I picked Psalm 131 because one is short. Amen. It's very short, and I think it's related to me as well. It related to me as well. Some other people picked more complicated psalms. Yeah, those were, yeah. God is good. So basically, I want us to just have a quick review about the psalms, right? And the psalms has 150 chapters, It actually has the longest chapter in the Bible, and it also has a blend of poetry, songs, and prayers. It's amazing. If you have never gone through the Psalms, I would advise you to just take time and read through the Psalms. You can take it as a bed story. It's so amazing. And some of the known authors include King David, Moses, Heman, the Ezraite, Ethan, the Ezraite, King Solomon, Asaph, and the sons of Korah. So there's a mixture in there. And when you look at the types of psalms, they include the following. They are hymns, they are lamentations, they are royal psalms, they are thanksgiving psalms, and there's also some wisdom in them, and there's a mix. Sometimes you can't even identify one full psalm. There are mixtures and all that. But one thing I would surely encourage you to do is don't be too picky when it comes to reading scripture, because if you are too picky, you might miss a lot of the good stuff. Because a lot of people, I can say, will never open the book of Psalms or maybe the book of Proverbs. They'll rather decide to stay. But if you have an order in which you are going, if you have a guided order, it helps you to read all of Scripture and get a better understanding. Amen. We bless God. So like I said, my chosen psalm was Psalm 131. And here are some few facts about Psalm 131. Thank you. Here are some few facts about Psalm 131. It was written by David. It's entitled A Song of Ascents of David. It has three verses. That is why I picked it. It has three verses, very short. And talks about having a humble spirit and a spirit of confident trust in God. Then it also touches, it's believed to be a reflection of David in his youth when he was being spoken of as being overconfident. So if you look at what I wrote underneath, I wrote that, let no one despise your youth. I picked that sub-theme on the perspective of transition. Many of us are youthful. We might find ourselves in places where there will be older people. Many of us are quite young. Many of us are in transition, moving to new places. We might find ourselves in places where we may be referred to as the new dude. You may be referred to as the new one. And as such, there would be a tag on you where you may not be expected to exude some certain level of confidence because they think you should be subtle and moving through the ranks and all. I remember when I was working in the Ministry of Gender, Children, and Social Protection, and at the age of 26, I was made one of the officers in charge of child marriage. And for the Greater Accra region, I had four officers to work with. One of them was 57. Another young lady was 40-something. But I was the youngest. So I would go into a meeting, and chairing the meeting, sometimes they would pass a statement, and when I disagree, they would say, but you are too young. Why would you disagree with us? But in that sense, this whole sermon is geared to showing us that no matter how young you are, no matter how new you may be, if the Lord has placed a blessing in you, it is right to show forth that blessing. If the Lord has given you a sense of wisdom, don't be shy, show forth the wisdom. If the Lord has granted you a certain level of organizational giftings, when you get into a new place, show forth your gifting. If the Lord has given you a certain impartation to push forth the agenda of the kingdom, do not be shy. Do not be shy. Try as much as possible to unearth that gifting. So basically, that is what we are going to be looking at. So I'm going to start with verse 1. So in verse 1, it says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too much. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. And basically in this, I wrote down in the notes that David speaks of his character. Character is everything. David speaks of his character. And he asserts that he is not overambitious. It's not as though he's building castles in the air with reference to his dealings. Like I said in the premise, remember, this was a time when people were speaking of David in his youthful age as being overconfident. And you can imagine him trying to show forth the wisdom God has given him, trying to contribute in issues and all that. And yet people say, this young guy, why would you be doing such a thing? Because that, at those times, was reserved for people who were perceived to be matured. Then he said, he emphasizes his decision of humility. Humility is a decision. And I can boldly say humility is not fear. Humility is a decision to control your strength and not to be arrogant. So inasmuch as the Lord calls us to show forth the blessings, to show forth every impartation in us, he requires us to be humble. He requires us not to be arrogant. The fact that you know does not make you any better than people in the team. How, Dama? Good. Verse 2, he says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a wind child with its mother. Like a wind child is my soul within me. And I wrote in the note aspect that he confidently speaks about the work he has done on himself. Trust me, what you see now at people you admire did not come out of the blue. There is a place of molding. There is a place of building. There is a place of shaping. So whatever you see, you know, I saw this picture once, and I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a huge iceberg. And all we could see was the top. And they had labeled it success. The top was success. But beneath the water was a much bigger part of the iceberg. And they had labeled it hard work, self-control, nights without sleep, days of reading. Nobody sees the aspect of hard work. Everybody sees the fruit of the hard work. So then he makes it clear that he confidently speaks about the work he has done on himself. And David cites an analogy with a weaned child with its mother, echoing dependence and a certain meekness. What I know about weaning a child, trust me, they don't like it. Even with JD, if she wants breast, she means she needs breast. No matter the toy you give her, no matter the jokes you crack or that you can dance all day, she's just going to look at you and still be crying. But then he's saying, I am like a child who has been weaned off the mother. I am a child who has expressed a certain level of control. I am a child who has placed a certain level of restraint. Trust me. In every situation you find yourself, it still depends on you to treat people the right way. Everywhere you find yourself, it still depends on you to say you are going to be a person who is humble, a person who respects people. The decision boils down to you. I literally don't believe when people say, I don't know how it happened. Definitely what you feed yourself is what comes out in situations. But in the midst of that, we trust the grace of God. Amen? In the midst of all that, we trust the grace of God. He goes on to say that he has placed his abilities, nature, desires, and passion within him under control. It's very important to hint again on self-control. Great. So we are going to go to verse 3. That is the last verse. Someone say amen. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. And as part of the note, I wrote, in the midst of the happenings, he had Israel in mind. Trust me, a matured person or someone who is exuding maturity is someone who does not think of himself. You could be in the workplace, you could be in the classroom. If all you think about is you, then there's something missing. One day I was praying, and for close to 30 minutes, all I had been saying was me, 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 me. Then from nowhere, I just felt a certain sorrow on my heart. And I'm like, what is this? But I'm praying. Then the Lord drew my attention. From beginning, since you started praying, you've just been saying me, 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 me. Why? To a large extent, people who understand, people who love, people who are humble, think more about others. It shouldn't always be about you. And trust me, the more you think of others, the more blessings will find you. Amen. My dad said, anytime you are speaking and people become quiet and they are nodding, it means they are listening. Then he said, David emphasized hope in God because he knew God is faithful. Like I said, the reason why you can express that level of humility, self-control, is because God is faithful. The work of redemption was done through Jesus Christ, and that gave us the ability to change. The work of redemption was done through Jesus Christ, and that gave us the ability to change. In Colossians, we understand that through Jesus Christ, them that are his, we are translated from a kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 downwards, you understand that all that are in him are new creation. The old is gone and the new have come. That emboldens us that change is possible. Change is possible. The fact that you have a certain demeanor, your anger, the way you treat people, you don't say that is the way I am. You can't accept that false identity. You can't say, oh, I don't know how to talk. No. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The presence of God speaks of possibilities. So the Bible literally makes us that with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So at this juncture, I just want to encourage all of us that I don't know what you want to work on in your life. I don't know what you're thinking of bettering. You might be struggling. You might go. Sometimes you might fall. But trust me, with God in the boat, impossibilities declare I am possible. Amen. The adage of time reference highlights the unchangeable nature of God. Indeed, if God did it before, he can do it again. There's a song by Ty Tribbett. I like it so much. If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now. Same God right now. If he did it before, he can do it again. Yeah. Same God right now. He's the same God today, tomorrow, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He will never change. And he will do what he has said in his word to do. I have been young and I have grown. I'm not speaking about myself. I'm quoting from the word. He said, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg for bread. I tell you for a fact that if God has spoken it in his word concerning us to perfect every situation, if God has spoken it in his word concerning us to change our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, then it is possible. You can't say that is the way you were born. You can't say I picked it up from my dad. You can't say that is how we do it in our house. I'm speaking to an audience who might find themselves in different places. You might be old, you might be young, but a time will come when the Lord will cause you to challenge the status quo. A time is coming when the Lord will cause you to defend those who have been oppressed so long. You don't go along with the status quo. You need to stand out, be separate, and be different. And this is only possible because we trust in God. Amen. Good. So let's go to the situation of Christ. In Luke chapter 2, 46 and 47, he says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And this was when Jesus was a child. And they had gone on pilgrimage to the temple. And Mary and Joseph were returning, but they couldn't find Joseph. They couldn't find Jesus. Anytime I read this, I imagine me, a little Ghanaian boy, if I go somewhere with my dad and my mom, and I run away, they can't find me. Oh, my word. And they find me. If they find me. I remember there was once I crashed my dad's car. He came talking to me so gently. He said, oh. And I said, he has forgotten. So that night he came back from work and he said, you know I love you. And he pulled out a cane. They had this cane and he said, the Bible says there is foolishness in the heart of a child. And the rod will take the foolishness. And I could say something about my dad. He knew when to beat me. Because sometimes my mom would speak. But as soon as my mom says, I'm telling your dad. And I'm like, no. Because in my mind, I started imagining me dancing to the canes. But in essence, Jesus went away from his parents, staying in the temple and having a discussion with matured people, with the priests. And he says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Woo! A visitor comes to my house. And me, I'm going to ask the visitor questions in my mother's house. One thing that happens in my family, when a visitor comes in the house, the kids go to the bedroom. And my mom doesn't have to say it. She looks at you and you know it's time to get to the bedroom. Like she's sitting down. And when the visitor comes, she goes like. Then you know you have to go. So he said, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. I put it to us that there is a generation that is coming who are not going to toe the line of the obvious. A time is coming when the Lord is going to use people who people do not expect. God is sending people to places, universities. God is sending people to countries so that you can become instruments of change. God is sending you to meet a group of people so that you can change their way of thinking. God is causing us to be instruments for his every good work. And to do that, we must learn to stand out. Jesus was outstanding in wisdom and was not intimidated. So I tell somebody, don't be intimidated. In the office, don't be intimidated. In the classroom, don't be intimidated. If the Lord has given you wisdom, if your thinking pattern is different and you know it's on point, don't be intimidated to share it. Amen. I've gone to places where the place is smelling of so much fear. You go into a family, and in the family, when they say daddy is coming, and there's so much fear and panic. Don't be intimidated, and don't intimidate others. My dad was amazing. My dad was a wonderful person. He enjoyed life so much. He loved to give so much. But he knew when to discipline. And I didn't like the discipline part. But the truth is, discipline is important. And I can boldly say, depending on the style of discipline, it is really important how you go about it. But one way that the Lord proves us his love is through chastisement. He chastises us because he loves us. But in that sense, you correct in love and not to destroy. Amen. Then also, he stepped out of the status quo. A lot of places, women are not allowed to share their thoughts. A lot of places, women are not allowed to speak their mind. But when God demands you to step out, step out. When God wants you to speak, you need to speak. There is a time coming, and I repeat, when the status quo will be defied because God is calling people to step out. God is calling people to change the pattern of thought. Amen. He was humble and not arrogant. In the midst of all that God has blessed you with, remember, be humble. Be humble. The gifting was not given you to lord over people. The position as being head of the family was not given you to destroy people, to put people under depression. The position was given you so that you could help other people become better. And like I said, the level of maturity, the level of advancement is always seen in your advocacy and in your compassion for others. Amen. This life is best lived when everybody watches out for everyone. So what can we learn? As young as you may be, the Lord can endow you with wisdom and understanding to the astonishment of people. I don't know how many of you have been to the Tide class before. Ooh. They can ask you some questions. Huh? I remember there was this day Paulo asked me, so why did God kill all those kids? Something. And for a moment, I was taken off guard. I'm like, is this a child? What question is this? But it is inevitable that the young ones of today are having a different level of reasoning. At the age of 2 years, I was sitting in the backyard of my house playing with sand. I was building sand castles, and I'll be eating a bit of the sand. But now, 2 years old children have laptops and they are reading and they are... I saw one child on the internet at the age of two who could mention all the capital towns of every country. A Ghanaian child. And I'm like, ooh, when I was 2 years old. And the funny thing is, one day I got over exuberant and I went to take our radio and I tried unplugging it to see if I could fix it. And it was my dad's radio. I still remember what happened that night. I remember it so carefully. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, understand that things are not the way they used to be back then. You need to know how to handle the kids, the youth around you. And you don't need to try to suppress them. Don't feel threatened. Rather, encourage. Amen. So I wrote, as young as you may be, the Lord can endow you with wisdom and understanding to the astonishment of people. Give yourself unto humility and don't be arrogant, but do what the Lord requires you to do. And also speaking to the younger ones, do not be arrogant. The fact that you know does not mean you should mock. Trust me, I've been on the wrong side of some of these things where people make you feel bad because you don't know. I say it with all honesty, it's not a good feeling. Let's try as much as possible to encourage people. If you see someone who does not know how to do what you can do, help the person. That is what makes you better. Your ability to make better people than yourself. That is what encompasses leadership. When you are able to raise better people than yourself, don't be threatened. In Africa, one thing that a lot of leaders are known for is to cripple the opposition leader. So in the Ugandan elections, I say this because it was in the news. It's not something I'm now telling you. It was in the news. You can check. Even Trevor Noah spoke about it. So in Uganda, the president was being opposed by his former personal doctor. And eventually, he put so many hindrances in the opposition's way that the opposition could not run for president. But what joy would it have been that someone you know, someone you have nurtured, someone you have helped would also rise up and be great? It's very important for us to know that when God blesses you, the blessing is not complete till you become a blessing to someone. When God entrusts you with a position, the whole responsibility of that position is not complete until you are able to raise people up to even be in that very position, not to push people down and cause them to move away. And that does not only refer to the church, it refers to your workplace. You are so scared if you teach this guy how to use the system, oh, they might end up employing him and they will find me not useful. Trust me, if one door shuts before you out of goodwill, a million more doors will open before you. Amen. And he says, if we ever encounter such youth, we must not be threatened. Let's rather encourage and guide them. There are a lot of instructors, but few fathers. And what the Lord is calling us to do is to be fathers. Help people. Guide them. A lot of people need a welcoming arm so that they could talk to and be encouraged by. Amen. Is it gone off? Did I do something wrong? Yes? I remember there was this day, my mom compared me to my cousin. I have a very brilliant cousin. She's so smart. I thought something evil, but it was so, she's so smart. And we wrote this in Ghana, we have this exam called the BECE. That's a basic education certificate exam. And I wrote the exam first, and I had six A's, six ones out of 10. A one is the high grade. So when I came home, I'm like, yeah, talk to me, mama. Look at me. I was telling her that, you see, I did it. Then my cousin comes home and she's like, oh, I had all A's. And my mom goes like, and that night they prepared, my favorite meal is beans with plantain. My mom prepared beans with plantain. So I went for the first round. I ate quickly. Then I was going for the second round. And when I got there, my mom said, this all you know, how to eat. That's all you know. But when it comes to studies, you don't want to learn. Then I got angry and I shouted. And my mom was doing this. I didn't know why she was doing that. But when I turned, my dad was standing there. And he said, meet me in the room. Oh my God. I think for like 1 week, I didn't talk to my dad after that beating. He beat me so hard, I forgot his name. We bless God. So I just want to read this scripture, then we end. But I believe the Lord is going to speak to us even through this scripture. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 to 16. He said, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, until I come. Devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gifts you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. God bless you so much, XICF. Shall we rise and pray?
Father, thank you so much, because from one perspective, we are all young and immature before your presence. But you are such a good Father. You know how to correct us when we need that. But even if your hand is firm, it's also tender at the same time. And you are always lovely. And you know how to speak to us. Thank you so much that we can call you Abba, Father. And thank you, Lord, because you don't despise us, even if we are, quote-unquote, young, whether in our age or in our maturity level or in our wisdom or in our experience. But you embrace us and train us and qualify us and give us so many gifts. Thank you, Father, because you are a good Father. None of us is fatherless. We are not orphans. we got you. Thank you. And thank you, Father, for XICF. Help us to keep building XICF as a safe place to make mistakes as we serve you. And that we would help each other to keep growing up, to keep maturing, to keep learning as we serve each other and as we praise your holy name. Father, as I was talking to other pastors over there in Taiwan, they asked me, and Pastor Gabe, what is happening in your church during your absence? Who's preaching and who's teaching? And I was so pleased to tell them, well, even when I am there, I don't even preach every Sunday. Because the Lord has provided all these other wonderful preachers. So, Father, this has been possible because you are a good Father to us. Keep blessing XICF. Help us to keep learning from you. And just as Perry said, help us not to suppress others that are growing, but to help them, give them a hand, so that our leadership will keep multiplying. Because we serve not only XICF, but we want to serve your kingdom. And so that wherever we go, we are ready to serve you. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, we pray and we worship you and we praise you and we keep thinking on you and we keep you in our words and deeds. For your glory, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, XICF.